In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. There's just one correction. Our text for today begins at verse 24 and goes through verse 33. The verses printed are for next week's gospel. So we hear God's word, the words of our Savior in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 24. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. And whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. This is God's word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. Birds get a bum rap. How do you feel when someone calls you a bird brain? What if at work you spent hours preparing a wonderful presentation, or hours cooking a wonderful meal, or you children draw a nice picture for grandma and grandpa, or for pastor to put on his bulletin board? How do we feel if the recipient says, man, those things are for the birds? You don't hear it much anymore, but it's no compliment to be called a dirty bird. Such negativity toward God's creatures is not only unnecessary, it's uncalled for. God loves his birds. God created birds with the instinct that makes them fly away from danger so they don't get hurt. God has created them to be able to know where to find food and build nests. Just this morning, as I was sitting at the kitchen table studying my sermon, a little bird flew out and found this scrap of newspaper in our backyard and put it in its beak and took it back to the birdhouse right back by our garden. Birds could head south and find their way without Siri telling them which way to go. St. Matthew tells us, in fact, in our text, that not even sparrows die and fall to the ground apart from the will of God. And that attentive will is also true for every hair on our heads. In this section of St. Matthew's Gospel, the Apostle was recording when Jesus sent him and the other 11 apostles out into the world. They would go out to do his will. They would go out to preach his message. They would go out to do his work. If people received them, then they would have received him. If people rejected them, then they would have rejected him. Three times, Jesus told those disciples, so don't be afraid. In an argument from the lesser, how God's will takes care of the birds, to the greater, how God's will takes care of us, who are worth more than many sparrows, Jesus taught his disciples and us that everything we do is done under the will and attention of our God. And so there's no reason to be afraid. God's will is for the birds. And we see first then, so there is nothing to fear from those who oppose us. God's will is for the birds. And so there is no reason for us to be afraid, and there is every reason for us to acknowledge Christ. The disciples must have been a bit, to say the least, disheartened when Jesus sent them out. He told them that they were going to be flogged, that they were going to be dragged before magistrates, that they were going to be killed, that family member was going to turn against family member. They were going to be persecuted and rejected. But we summarize that when Jesus says to them in verse 16 before our text, Jesus told them, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. The teacher was sending out his students. The master was sending out his servants. And he told them that they should not expect anything to be different for them than it was for him. And so he told them, a student is not above his teacher, or a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. What a privilege it was for those disciples to suffer the same things that their Lord Jesus suffered, that their master suffered. In Greek, where it says, it is enough to be like your teacher or master, really has the idea of that's sufficient, that's okay, that's what's right. We should not expect as students to be treated differently than our teachers, or servants to be treated differently than our master. I thought about back when I was at the seminary, and my professors would talk about the ways that the enemies of the gospel and Christ had treated them when they were in the parish ministry. And they reminded us that we should not expect to be treated any differently. That the world would treat us, when we were in the ministry, the very same way that it treated them when they were in the parish ministry. And yet, because God's will is for the birds, and we are worth much more than many sparrows, so don't be afraid, they told us. Don't be afraid of those who persecute you. Don't be surprised when that happens, because that's really what you can come to expect. Your enemies might even call you Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, another name for Satan. Sometimes people call Christians Satan. They call Jesus Satan. They said he was in league with the devil and he was an evil man. People tell us that we're unloving and evil and wicked in our attitudes and our actions. That doesn't surprise us because we are not greater than Christ. We're not different than our Lord and Savior. I've been hearing a lot lately on the part of many Christians a surprise that Christians are being persecuted, both in this country, taking away some freedoms or being mocked, or around the world where people are being crucified, beheaded, and their property taken away from them, and their parents considering them dead to them because of their confession of Christ. And Christians say, you know, I'm surprised at that. As if that were an aberration. As if that were unusual that unbelievers are trying to take away our Christian freedoms. It's really an aberration that you and I are not suffering more for our confession of Christ. It's the exception that we are privileged and able to be as accepted and as free to do God's work as we are in this country. Because we're not any better or different or above our Savior, who was rejected and persecuted and called even Satan. So, don't be afraid. Because we are more important to God than many sparrows. And God's will that takes care of them certainly will take care of us. And so we don't need to fear those who oppose us. Because really, there's no harm that they can really do to us. They can only kill the body. Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who can kill only the body. Sometimes we think if we would lose our life, we would lose everything. If we lose our life for Christ, we've really lost nothing. But we've gained everything. And that is eternal salvation in heaven. And that's what Jesus means when he says, don't be afraid of the enemies of your faith who can only injure human life. But be afraid of him who can kill or destroy the soul and body in hell. And that's not the devil. The devil has no power over our bodies or our souls, either here or in heaven. God is the only one who can destroy our souls and our bodies in hell because of impenitence, of sin, and unbelief. And so Jesus says, if they take our bodies, they've taken nothing. But be aware that we don't give up that faithfulness, that we don't, for the sake of our own human life safety or gain, that we would deny Christ. God's will is for the birds, and he takes care of them. He's going to take care of us so that there's nothing to fear from those who oppose us. But it's true then also that we have every reason to acknowledge Christ. Because by acknowledging Christ, we gain eternal salvation in heaven. Jesus closes his words here with a great promise and a great comfort. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. A bold confession of saving faith in Jesus Christ has cost many faithful confessor his or her life. It happened in church history, and it's happening around the world today. And we don't know if it will one day happen to us, or to our children, or to our grandchildren. But Jesus gives that warning to our sinful nature and that comfort and assurance to our new man. That as we are faithful to him, as we acknowledge him before men, on the last day he will acknowledge us before his Father and our Father in heaven. You know, a lot of this now is hidden. Jesus says, you know, a lot is hidden now, but one day it'll be revealed. It's hidden to us why we, God's people, have to suffer, and those who oppose Christ seem to prosper. It's hidden to us why it seems that our witness to others of Christ is not received or appreciated or believed. Right now, the kingdom of God and the way it works is hidden from our eyes. But Jesus says one day that's going to all be revealed. And that's when Jesus returns. Everything that happens hidden now in the kingdom of God and in this world, its purposes according to God's will and His plan will all be revealed on Judgment Day. And in a way, it already is. As Jesus uses that example of what I whisper in your ear, you preach from the rooftops. The rooftop of a roof of a house was a good natural preaching place for the disciples to preach to the crowds. Jesus said, I'm telling this to you in private, and then you're going to take it out into the world and preach it publicly. And that's a picture, really, and an example of that what's hidden and private being revealed. We reveal that gospel that the Word is revealed when that Word is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Today we are seeing confessors of Christ around the world acknowledging Him and receiving the reward of grace for their faith, eternal salvation in heaven. There is every reason to acknowledge Christ. It's God's will. It's why we go and preach the gospel. It is God's work. And God's will is for the birds. God takes care of those sparrows, and He takes care of us. So don't be afraid. Be faithful even to death. God has called each and every one of us Christians to witness for Jesus. Witnessing for Jesus is a very serious matter. Because as we in that witness acknowledge Him, so it will be on the last great day that our Savior will acknowledge us to our Father in heaven. And we see and have an example of that in our first lesson this morning in the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah faithfully preached God's word, and it got him thrown into prison. Jesus' disciples went out and fearlessly proclaimed the gospel of Christ, and all of them except John were martyred. Many believers in history and today pay that price. One day, if we have to pay that price, God will give us that faith and that ability to do that through the power of the gospel that we use now to strengthen our faith. God will give us strength to acknowledge Him before men by the power of His word. Take heart to Jesus' threefold imperative. So, don't be afraid. Amen.